Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Thank you very, very much, Aidan. Well, now with Christmas itself behind us, we are in touching distance, just days away from New Year's Eve, and with the chance to throw that final bash of the year. Whether that's a small gathering or an all-out session, a few helpful hints are always welcome. So joining me today to dispense some party planning wisdom, our hotelier and etiquette expert Noel Cunningham, and in studio with me here, freelance food and drink writer and Irish Independent columnist Aoife Carrigy. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Derval, and good afternoon, Aoife, and happy new year to you both and to your listeners.
Oh, listen, thank you very, very much, Noel. I'm actually going to start with Aoife, just because before we actually get the nuts and bolts of planning, and it's actually about communicating your soiree or whatever it is, because if that gets confused or lax, that can get it off to a bad start.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you have a clear idea of what it is that you're throwing, what kind of a party that you're throwing, and then let your guests know that. So if you're going to be spending hours cooking this amazing food, but you've not told anyone that you're going to be serving them food, and they all arrive and they've already eaten, that's a waste of your energy, and it's a real shame. So, you know, let people know if you are inviting them for food, or if it's going to be finger food. Is it going to be cocktails?
Is it the person you're inviting, is it an open house, or
totally,
is it something, you know, restricted to?
Absolutely. I think sometimes there can be kind of an assumption, you know, that you're inviting partners, for example, or that it's an open house that you could bring along a date. Or so just being clear with people, you know, is it a plus one? Is it a bring your mates from the pub, or is it strictly invitation only? Are kids welcome? You know, that can be particularly if it's kind of at this time of year, it's kind of, you know, our parties might be kind of a starting in the late afternoon but morphing into the late wee hours of the morning, and at what point are kids welcome or not. So I suppose just being clear about that in your own head first.
In your own head, if nothing else.
And then communicating that.
Noel, before the party, when you're in the planning stages, do you have a budget, or what stuff do you need to factor into your budget? I always kind of think New Year's Eve is one of those things that people kind of maybe forget about the cost of it.
You know, first of all, as with Christmas, we tend to get totally and utterly stressed about something that really is, with a little bit of planning, and as Aoife says very clearly, good communication, a delightful evening with friends. And there is the key. Invite people that you are comfortable with, that you are happy with, that you are not going to allow to stress you out. And it's worthwhile to remember that people are so delighted to be invited anywhere. They will forgive any mishaps. They will just accept they've been very graciously sort of invited to a lovely evening and have a wonderful time in the offing. And that's what it's all about. Have a budget by all means, because what we tend to do, we tend to get rather carried away, rather excited. And I always say, decide first of all what you are doing, as Aoife said, sit down, make a list. And why have a complete full bar with every drink that's available in the Shelburne Hotel top shelf? Unnecessary. Decide, I'm going to have Prosecco or a nice glass of champagne when they arrive. I'm going to stick to red and white wine. We might have a liqueur or a gin and tonic, for example, for people who genuinely don't drink wine. The point I'm making is we don't have to be all things to all people. And on the food side of it, you know, depending on the number, avoid the big glamorous dinner. Avoid having, you know, the testers, insofar as if you've just had a wonderful gift of a cookery book from Nevin McGuire, a party or Christmas day is not the time to test that particular recipe, you know. And anything, I say this time and again, anything you can go out and buy at a good sort of farm shop or at a good sort of one of these gorgeous, like Donnybrook Fair, or things that are pre-prepared that are of excellent quality. All the supermarkets now, every single one of them, Super Value, Sainsbury's, Tesco's, Waitrose, Lidl, they all have fabulous products.
Yeah, they've done all the work, so you don't have to. Just to say, if you've any party dilemmas or questions, you can text us at 0870 32 32 32. That's 0870 32 32 32. Now, it's not all, Aoife, about the alcohol on the evening. Certainly for a lot of people, it won't be. But I think sometimes people struggle. How much do I need to buy in, or is there an expectation that people bring it? Is there? Yeah. Do you have any sort of a formula as to how to manage that?
So, well, the classic for like for a sit down dinner, the kind of classic guide would be half a bottle of wine per person. Now, we can probably all think of lots of people who would drink more than half a bottle of wine in a sit-down dinner, and there will be people who will drink less. So that's it'll kind of average out at that. And I suppose that would be if you're maybe having pre-dinner drinks. That's not including pre-dinner drinks and so on. But really, if you're having a party, I think I agree with Noel. Like, think about, like, you know, a welcome drink, I think, is really key. Because, you know, if you have this opportunity when people are coming into your house, first of all, there's quite a lot going on when people arrive. There's their coats, they're saying hello, and they're kind of getting their bearings. You want to get their coats off them and a drink into their hand as quickly as possible. So if you have either a bottle of bubbles that you can pour, or what's lovely to do is a pre-batched kind of welcome drink. And that might be, it might be a mulled cider. It might be, and you might have a mulled apple for drivers, you know, apple juice. Or it might be a slightly more complicated cocktail, but it doesn't have to be super complicated.
Do you have a favourite cocktail for people when they arrive?
Well, a punch, depending on your numbers, right? If you're if you're looking at kind of 10 or over, you want to go with something that is pre-batched, and a punch is a great option for that. And actually, my friend Oisin Davis, who is a mixologist, and he's a book called Irish Kitchen Cocktails, and he has loads of recipes for just that kind of, you know, things that you can make easily in your kitchen in a big punch bowl, and often they would be tea based or juice based, and then a bit of alcohol in it. And it's a fun thing, that it's a leveler that everybody has. And also, I think no harm making it a little bit strong that first one, you know, just kind of like, you don't want, obviously, like, you know, my advice actually on the wine would be go more the low alcohol, because you don't want people, you know.
Yeah, you don't want a high alcohol volume.
Yeah, you don't want the party getting messy, but there's no harm in that first drink, maybe.
For you, Noel, do you have a signature drink? Are you hitting them strong when they come in the door?
I love what Aoife just said. A few very important things here. Don't become the Tom Cruise or cocktail, because if you suddenly start offering, if anybody would like a cocktail, it can be enormously stressful, because not everyone can mix good cocktails. But that's an aside. I always caution as well, myself, when I was drinking, I no longer drink, but people who are preparing for a party, that, you know, the slight kind of that we might just have a little tipple ourselves, or a few tipples, and by the time our guests arrive, we're half cut, because we're a little stressed. You'll always be a little stressed when you're having people coming to the house. So, yes.
So what would your non-alcoholic option be? Because, of course, a lot of people, you know, will drive just to ensure that they get home on New Year's Eve.
Absolutely. What Aoife has said there, just make up a beautiful fruit punch or an apple cider, or even, you know, if you get tonic water and add a few dashes of Angostura, lots of ice, some sort of fresh mint, put it in a lovely punch bowl. It's so refreshing and so lovely. And key here as well, a slightly stronger drink on arrival, and beautiful soft music playing, so that you've immediately set the tone. And if you have a fireplace, make sure you have a fire burning. And, you know, you're halfway there. And just chill and relax, because, as I said, everybody who's invited feels so happy to be there. And avoid the Mrs. Rabbit. There's always a Mrs. Rabbit or a Mr. Rabbit. Those who say, my cat died too. And, you know, every time a dish appears on a party table, they will pipe up, oh, yes, I made that patty last year, but I used a little port. You know what? I would nearly ask them to leave. I'd say, you know what? Thank you. This is my patty. You know, it's just, be careful about your guest list, as I say.
So, Aoife, I'm just even thinking, is there an ideal number of people that you would be taking? But in terms of the preparation, you know, because they say it's all about mad when everybody comes in the door, but how much preparation should go into to the atmosphere, to, you know, just the whole tone or ambience?
Well, I agree. The music, and I think the music should be playing from about 2 hours before people come in. Like, one of my favourite things...
To get you in the zone.
Yeah, I grew up in a house where my parents loved to throw parties. And as a kid, one of my favourite things about when they threw a party was the atmosphere before the party started, where, you know, the candles were lit, the house was clean, the there was beautiful music on, and my mum might be having a little brandy as she did the prep, you know, but there was just a gorgeous atmosphere, and everybody, and that kind of, particularly that hour before where, you know, ideally everyone's dressed and has their lipstick on and you're kind of ready and you're getting into the kind of the vibe of it.
You have your lipstick on a full hour before they arrive. I'm impressed, Aoife.
Ideally, because really, and Nola said this, but it's so important, and it's said over and over again when, you know, about advice for throwing dinner parties or whatever. Really, the most important thing is that you as the host are able to be in that zone, yeah, and are able to look after your guests. And that might mean, it might be more important that, like, you know, oh, I see my shy friend over there in the corner, a little bit lost. Like, your energy is actually better kind of put into, like, bringing her into a conversation with somebody that you know she has something in common with than faffing over cocktails, you know. Mm. And I would be a big believer in, like, empowering the people at the party to help you throw the party. A party is a communal affair.
And how do you manage it, Noel Cunningham? How do you manage, did you need to delegate the rest of the family members or whoever else is helping you out so that you're not running around like that crazy stressed out host who's not having any fun at all?
What Aoife says is perfect. First of all, I put on my lipstick the day before just to be absolutely in the zone.
And just reapply.
But, you know, first, if you have family attending, that's an easy one because you tell them well in advance, look at, we have quite a number coming. Will you do me a favour? Will you make sure you keep the drinks topped up, yeah, and just give me a little bit of support? And if you have no family there or nobody that you've been in contact with sort of on that basis, then, you know, you just say to one of your buddies, you say, Claire, would you do me a favour? You know, John and Moira over there, they like a wee drink. Make sure their glass doesn't drain, you know. And people, you know, friends will assume that role. They are so good because the atmosphere that Aoife described, it's already buzzing. There's a gorgeous ambience. Friends will immediately start passing around, you know, the little bites and topping up. And I do caution, a host or a hostess, when they're nervous, tend to top up too frequently. Mm. And, you know, that can be a little bit dangerous because people...
And a bit intrusive.
Yes, and get a little tipsy too soon as well. That it can all, you know, don't feel that you have to have everyone's glass literally, you know, brimming to the very top all evening. Certainly top up, but go to the half glass measure. People are there to enjoy, to sip. It's going to be a long evening. People are not expecting you to, you know, have the glass completely full and full at regular times, you know. And honestly, the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid. Mm. Keep it as simple. And days before, you were asking about preparation, your list, your tick box, so that on the night, as Aoife says, an hour before you can go and have a shower, put on your makeup, put on your best dress or your nicest slacks and shirt, and be ready and present because the people who are coming want you. I know everybody gets tired of hearing that, but they want the company, and it's so easy as well. And that's a very important to manoeuvre people so that they're all talking to one another.
So, Noel, we're getting a lot of questions in. One says, the last party I had, said one listener, I was wrecked by the time everyone arrived. So how do you prepare without getting overwhelmed with things like cleaning and stuff?
Well, first of all, a party is a great excuse and a great reason to give your house a good clean. I think it's one of the huge advantages of having one.
Yeah.
Secondly, do it a couple of days in advance. You don't have to do it on the day. I'm having some people in on New Year's Day. I am giving my house a thorough clean today, which means that's another job ticked. That's done. And on the morning, it's a little bit of cosmetic dusting and tidying and run the Hoover maybe on the stairs. Simple as. We make it difficult for ourselves. Make that list. Who's coming? What do I need to do? More importantly, what can I do days in advance? Mm-hmm. And there is an enormous amount. If you plan your menu well, if you plan your drinks well, you can do such a lot days in advance, not just the day before, but a few days in advance. And that all takes a part, because you don't want to be there absolutely exhausted, bedraggled, unhappy, and thinking, I wish this was over, I'm dying for my bed, you know.
And you don't also, Aoife Carrigy, want anyone commenting on the cleanliness of your home. So where do you really need to pay attention to in advance?
Well, I think
you're taking people's coats, yeah. You know, everything.
I think, well, one of the things is, you know, depending on the size of your home, like you don't necessarily have to open up the whole of the home. So you might allocate, like there might be a little side room that you can throw, you know, the coats into, or that you can throw kind of some extra bits. So declutter a little bit. I think that's not a bad idea, just so that people have space to put down their drinks and their plates of food and so on, and think a bit about the flow of the house or of the home.
Does it matter, another listener, Aoife says, if you're having a buffet but you don't have enough seats, what should I do? Do I let people stand? Does it matter if people are sort of, you know, milling about?
Absolutely not. But there's a good point now. So if somebody's standing, now I have practiced so that I'm able to hold a plate and a glass at the same time and then a fork in the other hand. But not everyone's able to do that. So definitely, you know, that's where maybe extra space comes in. So if they're standing beside a mantelpiece, they can put their plate down or put their glass down while they're having their food. So like with a buffet, I think, you know, you get to a certain point where, people are not going to be sitting down to eat. The people will be standing around. And that's OK, as long as you've kind of created a little bit of space for them. Yeah. But I would say, just going back to the cleanliness, I think the bathroom is key. You know, making sure that there's enough like fresh towels, loo roll, all that stuff. And just knowing that is kind of that is there and set up for them. And the other thing is hydration. Like I think, you know,
lots
of sparkling water, jugs of ice water, even just with like a piece of slice of orange and a bit of mint in it. So water becomes attractive to your guests and everybody keeps hydrated and nobody gets too messy. You know, I think that's another
one of the biggest fears. One of our listeners saying, I used to love having dinner parties, but I feel my house isn't glamorous enough. Looking for tips to make it look more impressive and comfortable. Noel, can I ask you just about the all important guest list and matching guests? And it might be different for a sit down as opposed to maybe a mixing party. Do you put a lot of thought into that to avoid any incidents or clashes?
You absolutely have. I mean, it's as basic as perhaps having almost, in a case of a smaller dinner party, having two dinner parties where you have the curmudgeonly grumps that you can control on one evening and the jolly people that you've mixed so well on the other. We all know the people who get on. We all have circles of friends and we know who know people. And that's part of the magic of having a party. For a sit-down dinner party, make sure you know your guests, you know who gets on well. You know, we all know my cousin Mary is such fun. She can talk about anything to anybody. That's the kind of the barometer that you use. For a bigger party on New Year's Eve, where you have kind of more open house, it's quite magical to see an array of people, a mix of people that many may not have met one another before, and you're kind of just conducting the orchestra and saying, oh, Mary, come over here. This is John. He's the new doctor. He's just moved into town. And this is so-and-so. You know, there's a lovely magic to that as well. So look, to the lady who thinks her house isn't glamorous enough, nobody is judging you. If they are judging you, you know those who might. Don't invite them. People, again, I say, are delighted to be in your lovely home. If you're a little bit sort of nervous, candles work magic. Yeah. Loads of candles. Go out and buy some get some greenery in the hedgerows, holly and ivy. Put them in the middle of the table with candles, red and yellow and green. And
safely placed everywhere. Aoife, battery candles, bunting, that's your...
Bunting. I love a bit of bunting.
That's so retro.
It's so retro, but it's so fun. You know, I have a couple of friends who are great for getting the bunting out, and it just instantly transforms a place into kind of a party vibe. But, you know, you can pick up, I don't know, the shops, little shops like Tiger or whatever, have like very cute little simple things that are not, that are inexpensive, but that will just brighten up the space. And I think, the lights, you know, strings of lights. I mean, I have a kind of a wall of lights that normally hangs down that I didn't have a wall to put on, so I just kind of hung it, and it's just I'm enjoying it so much in my kitchen at the minute.
Don't need to go over the top. There's lots of little solutions.
I think church candles as well are a great one for, you know, maybe a couple of different church candles together. Just obviously being careful around kind of fire safety, but the candles for just for warming up the space.
Battery candles for me have been a revelation. Yeah. If you grew up with parties in your house, what did you learn from your mum about food planning and the menu? Was she very, very sort of strategic about that?
Well, one of the things I suppose I've learned is, like, you at a party, don't over prepare as well. If it's a buffet scenario, people don't eat as much as you think they're going to eat. They don't eat as much when they're standing around at a party as they would sitting down at a table. So that's kind of one thing, is to actually try and be realistic in your in the quantities, and also giving people what they want. You know, my mum was great for, you know, in the for the kids' parties, for hot dogs, you know, or like, you know, big bowls of crisps, and just kind of literally giving people what they want, but quality, but not trying to kind of overdo it. But I suppose as well, the main thing is the kind of mise en place, as we call it in the kind of restaurant industry. I worked front of house for many years in restaurants, and so, you know, do you have enough ice? Like, no, people will bring bottles to your party. They're unlikely to bring ice. So do you have enough ice? If you're serving gin and tonics, do you have your lemons prepped? Do you have, you know, bottle openers, a couple of them? Do you have the place set up so that if someone needs a drink, they can actually help themselves rather than having to come and ask you every time they need a drink, you know?
Noel, can I ask you about something that can be very, very divisive at parties, depending on the personalities, which is party games? Yes or no?
You know, I am so totally against party games. Party games are fine on Christmas night when you've had a wonderful lunch and you're sort of trying to figure out what to do for the rest of the day, which can be a long day. But if you're having people for a party or for a dinner party, no. Party games, if there are children, maybe you have a separate room for the children, yes.
Well, actually, just on that, Noel, one of our listeners says, my friend insists on bringing her children to parties. I've said, no children, please, but long to come anyway. Do I stop inviting her?
Well, you don't necessarily stop inviting her, but you do say very clearly that most people at your party are there delighted to get away from their children or their grandchildren. And that's pretty much a rule of thumb, you know. And I think people are unreasonable. It's the same at weddings. If a bride and groom decide they have a child-free wedding reception, you have to respect that. That's their decision. And if you as a host or hostess are having a party and you've decided no children, that's as it should be. Different if they're teenage or late teenage, they can become part of the lovely evening. But no, have no qualms whatsoever about, just explain it. Don't disinvite or not invite or tell her you're not inviting her. Just say, look, honestly, we prefer no children, and leave it at that.
Yeah, what do you think, Aoife? It's because people can feel very resentful and insulted.
Yeah, I suppose it depends. If it's a single incident has been described there, perhaps it's just best to be super clear about it. But I do think if you have a few people who maybe, you know, there might be like single parents who want to bring their child, wouldn't be able to come without bringing their kids, or. You know, maybe you think about having kind of a slightly earlier start and then having a bit of a curfew, you know, so say like, you know, 4 or 5 till 7, you know, all welcome, and maybe, you know, communicate that after that it's an adult space. Yeah. And
it's really interesting. Some of the comments we're getting in. One of our listeners in Donegal says, I am laughing listening to you. I live in the wilds of West Donegal, and instead of going and buying bouquets of flowers this year for my vases, I went out and picked wild greenery and holly, and it looked absolutely lovely through my house. Another one, I think Noel Cunningham is channeling her inner Noel. She says, I'm having 18 on the 30th, a mix of adults and kids. I put everything out so people can help themselves, and I will look after older folk. Yeah. No nibbles. Thai curry and lots of desserts and chocolates. You all help yourself. Food in the adjoining rooms. People go in and out and back to their seats to eat. Lots of chairs and small tables, she said. Drinks left out with lots of glasses in different areas to food near the action. Most of the work will be done today. Presumably you approve, Aoife Carrigy.
Brilliant point. Like, I think thinking about the flow of the party. So exactly, you don't want a bottleneck where like somebody wants to get a drink, but actually there's a massive queue beside the big bowl of chili that you put out. And, you know, so to keep the drink separate, perhaps at different stations, think about the flow through the space, and think about it as you might kind of a workspace. If you were, you know, in a restaurant, where would you have the different areas, and making sure that people can access what
it's
they
really
need.
Interesting. There is a listener called Valerie McLaughlin, and she says, can you please pass on my good wishes to Aoife Carrigy? I used to know her mum Alicia many years ago. Aww. And I've been at parties in Carrigy's in the past, and they were always good fun. Noel, can I ask you just about just two other little etiquette issues? people feel the need to post everything on social media. If that's not your thing, do you have to have a strategy about that? Do you kind of say to people, look, it's my home, I'd prefer if you didn't?
I honestly think it'd be interesting, not just that, but, you know, don't have any qualms about somebody who might be inclined to get a little drunk in breweries, not to invite them. Social media, make it very clear. Make it absolutely clear in the invite or at you know, gently on the court. Look, we prefer that none of this is recorded or posted on the various social media because our lives, something has to be a little precious and private and gorgeous. And if I'm having a little private party, I don't want people seeing other people in pictures and saying, oh, my God, that one had a fair few glasses of wine or whatever. No, I think it's rude. Unless it is accepted that everybody's doing it and the host and hostess are doing it and that's the way they want it. But no, leave the mobile home, the mobile phone, and that would be my thing anyway. If you're going to a party, switch off your mobile phone. That's it.
Aoife, it's so obvious for you and your family the what parties bring to the home. They're a really, really gift. They're something we can share down through the years.
Yeah, totally. And I think just that they do take effort, you know. It does take effort, as Noel said, to clean the house. It's a good excuse to do so. And that's a gift back to you, you know. Okay, you're going to have to clean up again after the party, but you've done your deep clean. So it just brings an energy, I think, having people in your house, having, I don't know, different corners of your house being used, brings a different energy and creates memories in that space that then stay with you. And so I think it's a real gift for that you are giving to your guests, but in fact that they're giving back to you. And in so many cultures there is that very strong sense of, you know, it's an honor to throw a party and that the guests are giving something to you in coming there, and I do think that's really true.
Yeah, so no gifts are required. But finally, there's also a lot of song that happens, and Noel, I know I would think this is one of your favourites, Those Were the Days by Mary Hopkin. We're going to play it out as we thank you both for joining us and have a happy new year.
Thank you.
And to you, Derval, and to you, Aoife, and lovely to talk to you both.
Likewise, Noel. Happy new year, everybody.